This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. The Washington Commanders need more wide receivers. I don't just say that as like a, hey, that's analysis, baby. Hey, they got to find someone to help Terry McLaurin. No, they only have two on the roster. They legitimately only have two guys from the end of the season. Now, they might have like a Bryson Tremaine or whoever is on like a futures contract or whatever, and you know, UDFA or practice squad type guys that are going to help fill out the 90. But in terms of like bona fide NFL wide receivers that they have moving forward, Luke McCaffrey and Terry McLaurin are the only two guys that they have. They could certainly look at bringing back Noah Brown. They could certainly look at bringing back Deami Brown, Alamide Zaccheaus, Jameson Crowder, on down the list. But any guy you name that played in burgundy and gold last year, they have to re-sign outside of McCaffrey and McLaurin. And, by the way, McLaurin certainly might have a case to get an extension, and it might behoove them to do the extension now versus next season. So they have contracts to work out with basically everybody. And that really begs the question of, okay, well, what realistically do they do at that position? What is the best path forward? And this comes amidst multiple news pieces that are relevant. Three, really. One, we covered in depth yesterday. T. Higgins gets the franchise tag from Cincinnati. I'm going to say that all but takes him off the board. That's going to cost, not that you have to pay the two firsts or whatever the thing is. Like, you work out the deal between the two teams. But you're going to get either have to give up draft capital and a big contract to T. Higgins. I don't think that it's worth, I love T. Higgins as a player, and I love T. Higgins here as a player. But I don't think it's going to be worth outbidding a bunch of other teams where he is going to say, yes, I'm good with that trade, and the draft capital to make the Bengals okay with it. And that plus his injury history is enough to where I'm like, I'm good. If I could pay T. Higgins somewhere in the $25 million a year range, for reference, I think Justin Jefferson's getting 34. So if I can pay him somewhere in the 25, and he probably deserves 27, 28, to be clear. But if I can somehow get him in the 25, 26 million range for, let's say, 3 to 4 years, and it costs me a singular second round pick, if you tell me I get T. Higgins with my second round pick, I'm okay with it. So I would probably do that, but I don't know that the Bengals are going to go for that. I think they're probably going to want multiple picks, and I think the wide receiver market is going to be hot enough that there's going to be someone else that's willing to give him closer to 30 and give up probably a better second round pick, because that's the other thing too. Let's say the cost is a second round pick. If you're the Bengals, do you want the Patriots' second round pick, which is four picks after the, or five picks, something like that, after the Commanders' first round pick? Or do you want the Commanders' second round pick that is very close to the Patriots' third round pick? So I think that is something that is worth considering on all fronts. Today, the Bucs announced that they are, it was reported that the Buccaneers are extending the contract void date for Chris Godwin, which extends their negotiating window. As we saw yesterday, 2 days ago, yesterday, with the Panthers and Andy Dalton, who they agreed to a new deal. You can re-sign your own free agents right now, but there are certain dates that become important based off the individual contracts. And the Bucs had a date that was expiring with Godwin where he was 100% going to free agency, if they didn't tag him. And instead, they've extended that window, worked with Godwin, because they're probably working on a long-term extension. So that takes Chris Godwin, wide receiver two on the free agency board, off the market. Then you have the reality that the wide receiver market is kind of crazy. Anthony, how well do you think Darnell Mooney, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, how do you, like, would you make of him last year?
I think he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty solid. Who was more important, him or Saquon Barkley to the Eagles?
Saquon.
How much different do you think their salaries were?
I think Saquon probably would have made a little bit more, maybe like $3 or $4 million, because he only got 12.
They were $13 million a year players.
Oh wow!
Both of them.
Same money.
Same exact money. Mm. So on the free agent market, you can get a Saquon or you can get a Darnell Mooney. And so when you look at De'Ami Brown, for instance, who had a really nice couple of playoff games, and I think got way better with the opportunities that he got later in the season and proved that he's not a top tier wide receiver too by any stretch, but like he can do that for you in a pinch. And depending on what else you got, if you have a good wide receiver three and like they can be kind of 2A, 2B rotating around, will someone convince themselves that De'Ami Brown is worth paying Darnell Mooney money? Maybe. Yeah. I think it's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
That his vertical speed, what he ran at the combine, 4.45, the whole deal, showed that he had great, you know, ability to catch the ball through a hand in his face from Jaden in the Lions game, and made some tough catches. He's a run after the catch, like all that stuff. Will someone convince themselves that De'Ami Brown is worth Darnell Mooney money? Maybe. Would you rather spend $13 million on De'Ami Brown or $10 million on Zach Ertz? I'd rather spend $10 million on Zach Ertz. And knowing that that's probably a one-year deal where I'm like, God, yeah. I'm going to have to pay De'Ami $13 million. Like, is he looking at a 3-for-40 type of deal?
Mm.
Right? So I think that is the question in terms of, okay, if you're paying for a top guy, if you're paying for Chris Godwin, you know you're getting Chris Godwin. That level of certainty is worth paying for. That's part of the problem for Higgins is I know when he's on the field, he's going to be awesome, but his injury history suggests he might not be on the field for more than 12 games a year. Once you get into the we're projecting market, I just rather project on draftable guys because I'd rather pay that guy $1 million, $2 million, and then go bargain bin shopping and see if I can get someone like the Commanders did last year where they got Alamide Zaccheaus for $1.2 million, then pay, you know, again, I would love for them to re-sign De'Ami if he's actually a $7 or $8 million player. If that dude's getting $13, $14, De'Ami, my friend, go get paid.
Yeah.
We bid you adieu. Thanks for a great finish to what was at times a frustrating career here, but I know it was frustrating for him too. I bet you De'Ami often spends time thinking about, man, what if I just had these coaches the entire time? That quarterback the entire time instead of the nonsense. I mean, I know Sam Howell's this guy, but instead of the stuff that he dealt with and Rivera and whatever, like how different is De'Ami Brown's career if he's got Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury the entire time, who, even though they didn't draft him, figured out, hey, we should maybe throw this guy a screen every now and again. So the question is, if you're the Commanders, how do you address it? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Who are the, whether you've looked at the free agent class and you know some of the names, some of the draftable guys, there's some guys that I've started to watch a little bit that I'm curious about, some of whom I think will be available at 29. There's other guys that probably won't be, but also I think there's some guys that are intriguing at 61 in the Commanders' second round pick. So we're going to start throwing some actual names around. So whether it's names or just generalities, how do you want to see them address this position? And the last piece of news, by the way, that I forgot to mention is I believe it was Jeremy Fowler was on ESPN saying he thinks that the money is going to go to the Lions. That they're going to try to piece this receiver room together in many ways like they did last year and trust their coaching and their quarterback, make sure that quarterback is protected and the running game is better to support it. So I think that's probably worth mentioning as well. But what say you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your call's next on the Hoffman Show.